that it's there, that's a fact. So should I tell a prospective young man, yes or no? So Kanye Rabbi Soloveitchik said, this the fact that don't tell. Don't tell. Nope, they got engaged, didn't tell. This woman, the mother, couldn't sleep tonight. She couldn't sleep at night. You know, she had a tzachna on Soloveitchik. She couldn't sleep. I can't do this. So they told him, oh, he went wild. He went scouring the country. Remember, he went to Baltimore. The biggest expert in the country was in Hopkins. He was a doctor. He was a medical student himself. Just imagine, you know, a medical student. Well, he went to everywhere, covered the gate, didn't tell. This woman, the mother, couldn't sleep at night. She couldn't sleep at night. You know, she had a doctor on television. She couldn't sleep. I can't do this. So they told him, oh, he went wild. He went scouring the country. Remember, he went to Baltimore. The biggest expert in the country was in Hopkins. He was a doctor. He was a medical student himself. Just imagine, you know, a medical student goes, well, he went to everywhere, covered everything, and came back to me. I should tell him. Give you all the facts. I should tell him what to do. I told him, I'm not going to tell him. He doesn't make a decision himself. He found the information. You know the statistics, X percent, Y percent. He goes, wow. 2 days later, I got a phone call from my league mother, who I guess perhaps he, when you know, she had been asked me before he broke it up, yep, which rabbi that he would speak to. He can't just make a decision like this. It's a matter of life and no other. She must have mentioned my name. So perhaps it came to her by implication, 2 + 2 = 5, that he mentioned my name, broke up the shidduch. It must be that I was the one who told her, who told them he should break it up. I felt terrible. I said that to the source. But nevertheless, he had a moment. Really a statement. Broken hearted, absolutely broken hearted, and I'm the head. So I went to their home. Just remember, even though I was really did not, there was no requirement to do so, I felt, look, and I'm under your soul. I went to their home and I sat with them for a few hours, letting them vent and cry and yell at me a little bit, and yell at him a little bit, and stop yelling a little bit, and tell me to cry and cry a little more. I felt they owed to them. That's what they went through, a broken engagement. Baruch Hashem, he's married, she's married, and they're all happy, and I hope they should all be well. But you know, Rabbi often put into these very difficult situations to decide what to do. I should decide what to do. I'm not a Hasidic Rebbe. I don't make these decisions. And I'll tell you a secret. I don't make decisions before a marriage, and I won't make decisions even after a marriage. And Talmud fumbled this morning. Unbelievable. Cool. Somebody who knows somebody, cannot second somebody call him. So the second somebody wants to call him. The problem with the marriage. This story, after I heard fresh this morning, at 9 o'clock in the morning, goes as follows. I'm just telling you this because it's a rabbi that what they called him wants to give psak. The marriage relates, it's possibly up to health. Potentially, it is a serious issue. The first somebody who calls him, you're not going to believe it when you hear it. Well, I believe it. Goes like this. A young man became engaged to a young lady, I guess a year ago. It was her second marriage and his first. He told me when they both had a broken engagement. Okay, good. After the engagement, she becomes very irritable. You know what I'm saying? Very irritable. Simon Dalin talks about who was not permitted to marry into the Jewish people. Permitted to the Jewish people. I should be more precise. Mihe ma'asur lovo b'koho. It says, lo yoho mamzer b'kal Hashem. A mamzer may not marry someone who's part of the kal Hashem. But the Gemara says, that kahal geir lo ikri kol. Which means that a convert, although the convert is completely Jewish, is not considered part of kahal Hashem. And therefore, a mamzer may marry a geir, a georis, and a mamzer may marry a geir. A convert may marry someone who has the status of a mamzer. Who was a mamzer? A mamzer is someone who is the product of a marriage which is prohibited under pain of a liaison, I should say, which is prohibited under pain of kores, which is a punishment which is given by the Bet Shalmala, by the heavenly court, but there is, with the exception of nida. Well, nida is a very serious prohibition, and there is under pain of kores, but still there is no stigma attached to the child. don't think what I'm about to say whatsoever. Now, so where do you have, you have to now look at the Chumash and see, well, where is their karis? So many incestual relationships have an issue of karis. But the most common incidents of mamzeres for us, last tabu, they say, I don't know, it's not that common, but the most, unfortunately, the most common situation of mamzeres is what we call eishes ish, which is an adulterous relationship. Adulterous relationship, any child born to that relationship, is a, by definition, a mamzer. No, not at all. It's special last week. Calling about the Rebbe Lubavitcher child is not at all a mamzer. Maybe a chalala, but that's not so bad. That's a chalala to marry anybody, and a chalala to marry anybody with a kohen. Not too bad. But on the other hand, a mamzer, that's the pits. That's the worst. That's such a terrible thing. And of course, the point is that it need not be the result of a, how should I say it, sinful relationship. Even if it was done without sin, either because of the lack of knowledge or was done forcibly, but this doesn't matter. A Jewish married woman who has a child by a Jewish man other than her husband, that child is by definition a mamzer. I repeat, Jewish. But if she has a child from a non-Jewish man, of course other than her husband, then that child is not a mamzer. A kosher Jew from a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father, there are thousands of them running around. Thousands! Yeah, you don't know. Read the papers.
It's a
married, that's right. An intermarried woman. Well, I wouldn't use the word husband. Oh, you would not use that word. Had a case, unbelievable case. I had the case, I got a phone call yesterday. You think you've heard everything. No, I thought I heard everything, but yesterday was a new one. A young Rav is involved in a particular congregation, and in this case is too tough for him to answer. He wants to try to cash it off and somebody else, but he wants to know what my opinion is. What's the story? A Balas Tshuva was married to a Goy, so-called married to a Goy, and now she wants to marry a Kohen. We already discussed this last week, that if we got married to a guy, because this was a guy, the relationship with a guy already disqualified. Well, this phone call came in just yesterday. It's not fresh in my memory. This young Rob calls me and says, well, we took her to the RCA Bezdin to see if she can marry a Cohen. So I said, what are they up to now? Marry a Cohen. Well, he says, the marriage is never consummated. The marriage is never consummated, and it's not really a marriage. It could be a real marriage, except for the case of Rusha, a divorcee, everybody else to come. But the man was a guy. If the man was a guy, so then you can't call a divorcee because there was no marriage. Maybe still a divorcee, but there's no never a marriage. And you can't think she's what we call a zona, because she lived with a non-Jewish man, but she never lived with him. Their marriage is never consummated. But I said to her, the young woman, I said, who said it was never fully consummated? It's not how you define that term. It was a bit of it, the beginning of it, so it's already a problem. So we hear like a song on the other side of the phone. And how do you know nothing really happened? Well, said this young man to me, apparently there couldn't be any consummation of the marriage. It's a possibility. I said, impotence? Said I. That's not so simple, because it could be, well, apparently, it looks like maybe he was a she. You were two steps ahead of me. I could never imagine. I was flabbergasted. Absolutely flabbergasted. He was a she is no problem, because she can marry me. This she can marry me. Another she, I don't know. But this she can marry a
girl. But
it's not her fault. She's okay. She was both married to some guy when she was not grown. I told you it was not a guy, it was a guy. I don't know Jewish, I don't know what he was, but she was, or it was. But can you imagine? I got the shout yesterday. Good grief. That's the word for good grief.
She wasn't married to him.
She was a regular, normal woman. She must have been duped. I said, what kind of nuts?
Naive.
I don't know what it was. Can you imagine this? The Aussie invested probably she could not marry herself. So you never know. There's always new things. I thought I heard everything, but no. No, there are always new things. Here's the following. What do you know in this case? A woman's husband was in China for a year. 12 months. 12 months after her husband left town, she had a child.
She carried the 12 months.
Sure, 12 months. So, some say that a woman cannot carry for 12 months. And some say, who knows? So, less, believe it or not, less than 12 months, you look at the presumption that the baby is late. Some lady here doesn't want to hear about this. And the baby can be late 2 months. The 11th month baby, I never heard of it in the medical records.
Doesn't your accuracy with
the
timing?
Obviously. Yeah. But the guy here is way out of town for 12 months. Anyway, so we try very hard. We try very hard to avoid pronouncing some of the months. Up to the point we're going to stretch it, that maybe the baby just was a little carried for 10 months, so who knows what. This gives you an idea of how far we go. But this is true. This only is true if there's no other ground for suspicion. So if we saw what's called a dover before, some kind of suspicion, then we put two and two together and say, look, we saw suspicion, this ground for suspicion, just hanging around with some guy, and this baby was born 10 months after I was out of town, two and two makes four, and this kid is pronounced a monster. Now, here's another case. A married woman is what we call a cold. There's rumors about her that she's unfaithful. Everyone, a cold around the Makarev. Everybody. The whole world knows about it. She has a child. You presume the child is her husband's child. You presume, Sister Shulchan Aruch, that even though she may be carrying on somebody else, but still, you assume the majority of her relationship with her own husband, that's the assumption, and the child is pronounced kosher. Can you imagine that? Wow. Wow. If she's, however, perutza v'yoseh, extremely promiscuous, I find that exactly. That means she's so promiscuous, you cannot attend the majority of her relationship with her husband. She's just so busy with somebody else. That's it. Never afraid of children of Amzer. Very serious problem. Now a woman, generally speaking, if there's no other basis, is not believed to say that a child that's been attributed to her husband until now considered to be a kosher child, is in fact a matzah. I had this case, which was about the Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Kohen Rava. A woman, not because this is, again, this, I think you've heard everything, but this is a new one. A woman lost her husband. She had one son, who was presumably the son of her husband and herself. Well, her husband died, and she told her son that my late husband was not your father. Who was the father? My husband's brother. That's a mountain twice over. You know, I mean, so it's kind of weird. So now, I mean, this is what this is. So they came to Rabbi Soloveitchik. No, Rabbi Soloveitchik answered three words. Three-word answer. The answer to the three words were kosher eino nemenes. Three words mean the child is kosher, she's not believed. End of story. I'll tell you a more dramatic story with the late Moshe Feinstein, the corner of the rock. Moshe Feinstein was called up to be what we call the Masada Kiddushin. He was under the canopy and ready to perform the marriage ceremony. He already had the
wine is already being poured. This is like the movies. The wine is already being poured. It is a Bible going, they say, speak now, Rabbi Kohl. You don't have that in our ceremony. But apparently, the mother, this is an amazing story. The mother of the husband, she couldn't hold it in. She felt she was just under her conscience. Under the chuppah, she says, Rabbi Feinstein, I have two confessions. Can you imagine this? This young man is not the child of my husband, but the child of somebody else. So Rabbi Moshe, without missing a beat, took the cup of wine, ate the two brachas, went to the kiddushin, and walked away. Completely ignored everything she says. More than that, he didn't give the other chance, the other side a chance to react. Brilliant, Rabbi Moshe. Can you imagine you're under the chuppah with your daughter, and the containers are said, the kids are not there. You can back out before you can turn around. He wouldn't let him back out. He went through the way so fast and they didn't hit him. But it was more dramatic than every single age. He made his statement in the comfort of his living room. Rabbi Moshe made his, he put his, he just hushed it up and went through the way like this. We don't know. We don't know. That's right. Who went it back out of the way? That's right. Who knows what she wants?
Usually they say either the groom or the bride.
Right. That's right.
Isn't he risking that he's about to marry people who are related or something? He doesn't know.
It's risking much the bigger things. Risking marrying a mountain to a woman from Kalashet. The answer is, of course they're risking. But the Shulchan Aruch should not believe. Should not believe. Period. End of story. Wow. Absolutely wow.
Why is she not believed?
How about that? Not believed?
Because a woman can't be only for ages or a medicine?
Maybe that's the reason. But
what race you have to believe her?
You say so. This is called Dava Shebi'er, but it's a matter of you really need two witnesses for everything over here. It comes with you.
Yeah.
Even one witness, even one outside witness, even one outside male witness perhaps might not be believed in this case. It's a little bit complicated. But the woman, the mother's just not believed. The father, by the way, is believed. The pseudo-father who suddenly goes up to bed and says, this child is presumed to be mine, not mine. He is believed. Don't ask me why. It's
impossible. They don't investigate.
Finished. Yakir. The word yakir, you'd raise, interpreted by the Chazal to mean he has credibility, finished.
But that's the problem.
It's a very big problem.
Yeah, because why do you believe the man? In other words,
I don't know.
Good question. Well, That's right.
Very strange.
Hello.
I'm saying.
It feels like
it's
all go more
towards
the man than the woman.
Yeah. From the pasuk says that, but we don't know why. That's just the way it says. But that is the following case. This is amazing. Listen carefully. A mamzer, quote unquote, marries or has relations with a non-Jewish woman, gives birth to a non-Jewish child. That child does not bear the stigma of mamzerus. So if a mamzer wants his children to be not, be known to get rid of the stigma of mamzerus, there's only one trick.
Marry
out. I mean, you don't have that. But if he marries out and has children from a non-Jewish woman, those children are what we call goyim. And if they convert, they're kosher. They're kosher converts. Unbelievable. We'll say you can't. You can't do that. Well, it's a possible thing. Like comes up from incredible. How can we make this thing unbelievable? It's a Mishnah Kiddushin. Listen to this. Listen. There's one case we can maybe find help for a male mamzer, female. I don't know if we have any help, but a male. There exists a kind of a woman called a shifcha. Shifcha Knas, maybe look about it in Tumish. I mean, she's a maidservant who is not Jewish, but she has what we might call a partial conversion. In Eved Knani, Shifra Kananis, non-Jewish slave or maidservant who goes to mikvah, and what we call a partial conversion, not completely Jewish, but there's some measure of Jewishness there. It says in the Torah, Parshas Mishpatim, you may have learned it at the very beginning, it says that an Eved Ivri is permitted to marry a Shifra Kananis, and if there are children, you may remember, that the child of the one, Shifra, the maid servant, who's given as a for procreation to this Eved Ivri, she and her children remain with the master, which means the rabbis teach us in the Gemara that the children are not Jewish; they are avodim or shvamos themselves. Hear the punchline though. A mamzer, while prohibited from marrying a non-Jewish woman, is permitted to marry a shifcha. Is permitted to marry a shifcha for one of two reasons. According to the Rambam, the entire prohibition of a shifcha is the Rabbanan. Rabbinic, they never instituted the prohibition when it comes to a mamzer. According to Tosis, it's min haTorah, based on the lo yeh kodesh, shepasik and chumash, but a mamzer is kodesh v'yomeh. The mamzer himself is not perfect yichas either. So therefore he's permitted to marry the ship. Says the Mishnah Kiddushin, Yecholin Mamzerim L'Toyer. Mamzerim can become pure. I mean, they themselves can become pure. They can have kosher children in a permissible way. How? They marry a ship. Well, the children are either Avodim or Shlomos themselves. Then they can convert to Yiddishkeit, to become full-fledged Jews. Well, Gerim, no problem. Well, if you want to read up on it, it's fascinating. It's an article in the Halacha, the Journal of Halacha Contemporary Society last year about this trick. Could we apply it on a practical basis? Someone who's a mamzer, let's find a non-Jewish woman who's interested in converting. Say, do me a favor, don't convert all the way. Convert halfway for the moment. Become a shifcha kananis. Okay? And this way you'll have all your children with this man, and they'll all convert. But after you become too old to bear any more children, then you can convert completely and never land in the happily ever after. What is the issue dependent upon among others? This is the most important issue. Can there be a shifcha kananis today? Let's not forget, Lincoln outlawed slavery and freed the slaves. What kind of shifcha kananis? There's a footnote there. Is slavery legal anywhere in the world? It's a power of country. Maybe the slaves are still officially legal in some African country somewhere. They go to those countries and then I'm a slave there. But some say, I was told this quote from Rav Moshe, who cares what Lincoln said? Who cares what Lincoln said? So they can just outlaw, you know, working the person as a slave, you know, with back-breaking labor, etc. But, you know, if you want to make it on the books, so make it on the books, so what? So what? Be on the books. Speaking about the books, I can't just take another shout out last week. Every day something different. Listen to the story. It's a sad story, but listen. There's a couple in, I think somewhere, well, it's not, I don't know if I where, there's a couple somewhere around here. They have a very sick child, unfortunately. Very sick child. And there was tremendous, monumental medical bills. And I believe that Medicare, one of these things picks up the lion's share of the bill. But even the remainder is bankrupt. You know, the X percent is some bigger, not as big, even the X percent is. So they went, they don't know what to do. Can't manage, you know, it's crazy, and endless. They told me the medical condition was a very sad condition. But that's not the point right now. So they went to one of their friends, like a lawyer. Help! What can we do now? It's just brilliant. Now we can't handle it. Just staggering sums. So the lawyer said, their friend of the lawyer said, there's only one way out of this. What's that? Get divorced. I think it's the state of New Jersey. An amazing rule. A single mother with a child who's very ill and the Medicaid or the Medicare runs out, so they will pick up the balance. Can you imagine this? The Jewish man and the Jewish woman, they have a child, the child is sick, the Medicaid runs out, they become destitute, and the only trick the lawyer suggested was get divorced. So Rabbi came to me and asked the question, may they get divorced? I don't think we get divorced. They'll become divorced what?
Civilly
divorced. All right, they would get, they continue to live as man and wife from the Jewish perspective. So normally, under normal condition, I think it's not right. I've been asked in the past to perform weddings of older people who want to marry each other. They're both widows, but they lose their social security if they marry each other or something like this. They want to each maintain their own social security. So I have a Jewish wedding, a super condition, without papers. I refused. I'm not going to get involved in that kind of deal. Look what's happening over here now. Listen, the lawyer said, listen, what can I do for you? The only way you can possibly avoid complete bankruptcy and debts of who knows, maybe millions of dollars.
What happens? Are you not just going to say, I'm not going to take care of the child, because I'm not going to
take care of the child? I don't know what they do, but they'll just keep racking up bills of, you know, another 10,000, another 100,000, another million. These paper bills could be endless. So for single mothers, there's some kind of a rule in New Jersey, apparently. So now they ask me, can they have a civil divorce? I said, it seems to me to be happy. So I was okay.
How can the doctors themselves say, I cannot treat this child?
Maybe they will treat the child, but they'll keep racking up bills.
If they rack up bills, how are they going to get paid?
They lean on your house, lean on your car,
you can't move.
People pay off
doctors. Yeah.
Sure. It's not the doctor's bill. It's the medical bill.
Okay,
Okay. But I mentioned this only in the context that we saw about before. Can a machzer have a child who is kosher by having a shift with Knanis? Which, you know, what is one, why one can lead to the other? Here too, it's a shift with Knanis on the books, but there's not going to be any slave labor. That's for sure, no slave labor. It's just a shift with Knanis on the books. So the question becomes, is this halakhically valid or not? Rav Moshe Feinstein is alleged to have said that it is halakhically valid. Story has it, I can't confirm or deny it, that Rav Moshe's son-in-law, Rabbi Tendler, is in fact a, and I understand it in a nice way, a slave owner. That there were certain cases of mamzerim and they wanted to avail themselves of this psak. Who's going to be the, you know, a shifter has to have a master. So the rumor has it that he was, on instruction of Rabbi Feinstein, you know, found a woman who wanted to convert to Judaism, but instead of converting that completely, convert halfway, I'll be the master. And when you get too old and have any more children, I'll free you. We hope he lives 120 years. If not, so I guess his son will free him. Must have his papers. That's the story. I can't confirm or deny.
Something
of
any, then they go on.
The rabbi came to me and answered the question. That's what I'm saying. Amazing. I don't want to say anything definitive. I just was told this. Rabbi Moshe held this way, and Rabbi Soloveitchik is upon the rock, held the other way around. Since Lincoln freed the slaves, this whole thing is can't have the slave anymore.
What's your status in the community?
adopt the children, which was this nature so little about last week, the case is a very serious problem. It's a very case-by-case basis. Big problem. That's the case we don't know the father or the mother. Mesmerizing the case, we know the mother, we don't know the father. That's called a stuki. Why is it called a stuki? Yes, who's the father? Check, no. spoke a little about last week. The case is a very serious problem. On every case, case by case basis. Big problem. That's the case we don't know the father or the mother. That's the case we know the mother, don't know the father. It's called the Stooky. Why is it called the Stooky? Yes, who's the father? Check, Stoke. Stooky. So once again, the problem. Maybe there's a possibility of mamzeret, maybe it's an ancestral relationship. And then you have to find out what the root is, and it becomes very complicated again. Very complicated. Next case is also amazing. Murano, who leaves
a woman who's unfaithful, is adulterous, is not only prohibited, is prohibited to remain with her husband, and yes, it's prohibited to marry, what do I say, her boyfriend. Asura Labal, Asura Labobo. That's the Parsha of Sota, the famous Parsha of Sota. I can tell you just two or three stories. Once I was involved in a difficult marriage was spinning out of control. And I had a call from a relative of the lady who's trying to patch the marriage up to get the marriage together again. You know, I have an idea how to patch the marriage up. What's this? I know for a fact that one day, so it can make it maybe next week, but one that's more cheerful.